Okay, thank you. So this is joint work with Jean-Francois Bouny and Thierry Ramon in France. And what I want to talk about is describe the structure of the scattering amplitude at an energy level, which is the maximum of the potential. So let me begin by introducing some of the notation in which I will use. So we consider Schrodinger operator of this type, minus 1/2 h squared Laplacian plus v, where v is the potential, which is short range, which means that it satisfies an estimate of this form for some rho greater than 1 and every multi-index alpha. And h is a positive, small positive number, which is the semi-classical parameter. And in this case, the wave operators, which are defined as strong limits in L2 of the evolution of the negative evolution of P acting on the positive evolution of the semi-classical Laplacian, exist and are complete, which means that we can define the scattering operator as W plus star times W minus. And maybe I would like to remark that the wave operators measure the difference between the free and the perturbed dynamics at T plus and minus infinity. And the wave operator, in some sense, does the following thing. The scattering operator does the following thing. For every, in some quantum mechanical terminology, for every state rho in L2 of Rn, there exists a unique state rho bar in L2 of Rn, such that at T minus infinity, the perturbed dynamics acting on rho bar behaves like the free dynamics acting on rho, and at T plus infinity, rho bar under the perturbed dynamics behaves like the scattering operator S applied to rho under the free dynamics. So that's kind of the intuitive meaning of what the scattering operator does. It is actually precise in some sense, but I won't describe it. And the scattering operator has a spectral decomposition as a direct integral over the positive real numbers of operators S of lambda H, where each operator S of lambda is unitary on L2 of the sphere and is called the scattering matrix at energy lambda. Now, the object in which I'm interested is the scattering amplitude at energy lambda, which is very closely related to the scattering matrix. It is the identity minus the scattering matrix times some constant depending on the dimension, the energy, and the semi-classical parameter. So this is the object, the structure, which I will describe in this talk. And to do this, I need to introduce some more notation. Namely, the principal symbol of the operator, which is obtained by replacing derivatives by xi, almost. And so the principal symbol is the function p of x xi, which is 1/2 norm of xi squared plus v of x. The Hamiltonian vector field of p, just like of any smooth function, is given by the usual formula in local coordinates, or on Rn in global coordinates. And an integral curve of the Hamiltonian vector field is called a non-trapped trajectory if x goes to infinity as t goes to plus or minus infinity. And if it is non-trapped in this case, it is known that it looks as in this picture, namely at time minus infinity, this trajectory behaves like a free trajectory, so it's asymptotic to a straight line. And at time plus infinity, it is also asymptotic to a straight line. And these straight lines have directions, and the direction of the straight line to which my perturbed trajectory is asymptotic at time minus infinity is called the initial direction, and the direction of the straight line to which my perturbed trajectory is asymptotic as t goes to plus infinity is called the final direction of my non-trapped trajectory. And the final direction theta is said to be regular for the initial direction omega if the map from omega perp to the sphere, which to a point z on omega perp assigns the final direction of my perturbed trajectory, is non-degenerate at every z in omega perp, which gives rise to a trajectory with this final direction theta. And so if we denote by sigma the Jacobian at this map, of this map, I can describe some of the earlier work which has been done on the structure of the scattering amplitude. So under the assumption that the final direction theta is regular for the initial direction omega, several people have proven asymptotic expansions of the Schwarz kernel of the scattering amplitude. So the Schwarz kernel is kind of like an integral kernel of the scattering amplitude. And these asymptotic expansions have the following form. They have an oscillatory term, e to the I over h times a function sj times an expansion in H, the leading term of which is given by the Jacobian of this map, which defines the regularity of theta with respect to omega. And Sj here, the Sjs are the modified actions along the jth trajectory with initial direction omega and final direction theta. If we assume that theta is regular for omega, we can prove that there are finitely many such trajectories with this initial and final directions. And the actions are defined in the usual way. They are the integral of norm of xi, the xi component of the trajectory, squared minus 2 times the energy. Well, the minus 2 times the energy is needed to make this integral finite. So this is kind of a technicality in a way. And the people who have established such asymptotic expansions of the scattering amplitude include Weinberg in 1977, who studied Schrödinger operators with potentials which have compact support and the energy is greater than the supremum of the potential. Guillemin studied compactly supported metric perturbations of the semiclassical Laplacian. Yojima in 1987 proved the same asymptotic expansion in L2 for trapping energies, but of course this only makes sense in a non-trapped trajectory. Robert and Tamura proved such an asymptotic expansion pointwise for short-range potentials for non-trapping energies. And in 2001, Michel extended their results to trapping energies under certain assumptions on the resonances, which are certain generalized spectral values, which I won't define. So all of these results have been proven assuming that the final direction theta is regular for the initial direction omega. Without the regularity assumption, I studied the structure of the scattering amplitude, but I made another assumption, which is the following, that P equals to lambda implies that the differential of P is non-zero. And for compactly supported potentials and for short-range potentials, I prove that the scattering amplitude quantizes a certain canonical relation in the sense of semi-classical Fourier integral operators, which I won't tell you exactly what they are, but I will tell you what this certain canonical relation is. So I prove that the scattering amplitude quantizes the following canonical relation, defined again near non-trapped trajectory, a non-trapped integral curve of the Hamiltonian vector field of the principal symbol. The canonical relation consists of the following set of the following data. It takes the direction of the of, it takes the incoming direction omega and the point z on omega perp, which determines uniquely this asymptotic free trajectory at t minus infinity. And also it takes the outgoing direction theta and the point w on theta perp, which uniquely determines this outgoing asymptotic free trajectory at plus infinity. And this canonical relation is a Lagrangian submanifold of the cotangent bundle of the sphere times itself. And this was the canonical relation which I proved the scattering amplitude quantizes in the sense of semi-classical Fourier integral operators, which is an interesting result, which gives us a lot of information about the scattering amplitude, because Fourier integral operators have a lot of properties. And so we know that the scattering amplitude then has all these properties. But also it gives us an asymptotic expansion of the scattering amplitude similar to the one proven earlier, similar to this asymptotic expansion, without the regularity assumption. Okay. So this is what we get from knowing that it is a semi-classical Fourier integral operator. Now, the setting in which we work here is the following. Again, we study the Schrödinger operator for short-range potentials, and we consider the scattering amplitude at an energy E, which is a non-degenerate global maximum of the potential, and the potential achieves this maximum at zero, and near zero it looks like this. It is equal to its maximum minus the sum of lambda j squared over 4 times x j squared plus big O of x cubed as x goes to 0, where the lambda j's are positive and lambda 1 we assume to be strictly less than lambda 2. This is for technical reasons. The trap set at energy E consists only of the point 0, 0. So the only trajectory which never goes to infinity is the one which starts at 0, 0. And actually, if it starts at 0, 0, it doesn't go anywhere. So it just stays there. And away from 0, 0, we make the assumption which I also made earlier in my work, which says that this, the principal symbol equals E, it implies that the differential of the symbol is not 0. And so from this assumption, from the first assumption on the potential, we have the following nice geometric result. So we can compute the linearized vector field of HP at 0, 0, and from the stable and stable manifold theorem, we obtain that there exist two Lagrangian submanifolds of the cotangent bundle of Rn, satisfying the following conditions. So lambda minus consists of trajectories which go to 0, to 0, 0, as t goes to plus infinity, and lambda plus consists of trajectories which emanate from 0, 0, as time goes to minus infinity. And we also make another assumption, namely that for some omega and theta, there exist unique trajectories in lambda minus and lambda plus, which have initial direction omega and final direction theta. Again, this is just a technicality to make our assumption, our work easier to present. And so, as I said, we prove an asymptotic expansion of the scattering amplitude in this setting. And to do that, we use the following representation of the scattering amplitude. For theta not equal to omega, the Schwarz kernel of the scattering amplitude can be written in this form. We have these oscillatory terms, e to minus I phi plus, e to I over h phi minus. We have some smooth functions, g plus g minus, acting on the Schwarz kernel of the resolvent. So some of the notation here is explained below. So r of lambda h is the limit from the upper half plane to the real axis of the resolvent of our operator. This limit is taken in the space of bounded operators between these two weighted L2 spaces, which I won't define exactly. G plus minus are semi-classical symbols with disjoint supports away from zero. You can just think of them as smooth functions with disjoint supports away from zero. C plus minus solves certain Econo equations in the outgoing and incoming regions of phase space and behave like x dot psi at infinity in some very precise sense, which I won't describe. And this representation of the scattering amplitude comes from an exact one proven by Suzaki and Kitare in 1985, and then using a resolvent estimate of Nakamura from 1991, we can simplify it and prove that it is essentially this term plus an error of big O of h infinity, if theta is not equal to omega. And this is the representation of the scattering amplitude, which we use to derive an asymptotic expansion of the scattering amplitude at an energy which is a maximum of the potential. And here is a very short outline of the proof. So maybe I'll put this again, just to say that here we have the resolvent acting on this incoming data, e to the I over h v minus g minus. And so this is the term we study first. And for this term, we prove that it solves a certain initial value problem, microlocally, near 0, 0. So first, it is a solution of p of h minus e applied to u equals to 0, microlocally near 0, 0, which means localized both in the base and in phase space, near 0, 0. And that is clear from the assumption that g minus has support away from 0. So that's easy. The second condition is a little more involved. We prove that near lambda minus, near my incoming Lagrangian submanifold, again, microlocally, this resolvent term equals to the integral from 0 to t of the evolution applied to the initial data and the incoming data. And this is, as I said, a little more involved. We prove some propagation results of semi-classical singularities and use some other resolvent estimates of Robert and Tamura. And once we have this, once we prove that the resolvent applied to the incoming data solves this microlocal initial value problem, we can use results of Elfer and Shostrand from 1985, and we an asymptotic expansion of this term in lambda plus in my outgoing manifold near 0, 0 again. And this asymptotic expansion is in H and has this form. So there is some amplitude here and there is some phase here. So let me briefly explain these terms. The terms in the amplitude are polynomials in log of h. The first one is independent of h. The terms which appear as powers of h include s, which is one half the sum of all the lambdas, and mu k hat, which are linear combinations over the non-negative integers of the lambda j's. And the phase function C plus is such that it parametrizes the outgoing Lagrangian submanifold lambda plus in the sense that lambda plus near 0, 0 can be written in the form x gradient of C plus. Okay, and so once we have this expansion of u minus near 0, 0, we would like to plug it into the representation of the scattering amplitude, this one, and pair it with the other term, with the outgoing term, and get some expansion. Well, we can do this, but not right away, because if you remember, we have that the scattering amplitude is equal to U minus paired with this outgoing term, but G plus has support away from zero, and the asymptotic expansion I have for U minus is only valid near 0, 0. So the first thing we do is we prove that we can modify G plus and replace it by another function G plus tilde, which is defined near zero, and this doesn't change the scattering amplitude very much. It changes it by big O of H infinity, but that's okay, because everything is modulo big O of H infinity. And once we do this, we can substitute in the asymptotic expansion for U minus, which we obtained on the previous slide, and we obtain an asymptotic expansion for the scattering amplitude after we perform a stationary phase expansion in X prime, which is the second variable of x, and integrate in x1, and we obtain the following asymptotic expansion. So we have some amplitude here which has an asymptotic expansion in h and has terms dk of x log of h, where again these are polynomials in log of h. But the more interesting term here is the phase function. So we have e to the I over h s minus minus s plus, where s plus minus are actions over these unique trajectories we assumed we have in lambda minus and lambda plus, which have incoming direction omega and outgoing direction theta. And to compare this to the previous results, it looks very similar to the earlier results. So you see earlier people proved an asymptotic expansion in which the phase was given by the action over omega theta trajectories. Well, here we don't have omega theta trajectories because we're working near trajectories which go to zero as t goes to plus infinity or emanate from zero at time minus infinity. But again, we obtain something similar. We obtain the actions over both of these trajectories, so in some sense they're connected here. So this is all. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your detailed lecture on scattering theory, I guess. I don't have questions before myself.
Oh, well,
so my question was, did you apply there was only one term, or you were just for our simplicity?
No, neither of those. The reason is because that is how all these other authors write their results, and they also use stationary phase, so they obtain a complete asymptotic expansion, but really in the statement of their theorems, that's how they write them, so I just write them like that, but it's the same, yeah, they have a complete... Yes, but they have a complete asymptotic expansion, and they explicitly compute the first term, and we also have an explicit computation for the first term, but that takes half a page to write, actually, so I'm skipping that. Let me see if I understand what your question refers to, but...
No,
this was... Was it this?
Let's see.
using this assumption, but
you
need. So this is not much of an assumption, really. This is just for convenience of how we write the results. But so obviously we have, you know, many trajectories in lambda minus. They have some incoming directions. So we just pick one of them. We say, you know, some omega is some incoming direction for one of these trajectories, and we just assume it's the only trajectory with this incoming direction. But if there are more of them, well, okay, so we need to have finitely many of them, but... Well, we assume that the only trapping is at 0, 0. So there is nothing. So everything else goes to infinity. That is.
If not,
time.
Right.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yes.